understand more, all right? But just by way of introduction, just now I heard a lot of people was actually asking, or rather wanting to know how to pray. And one of the things I forgot in my message on Sunday, I think there was one first part of the message we all didn't actually fill up about how to pray, when to pray, and all that. Okay, so what I'd like to do is actually to start off with a simple lesson on prayer before I go into this. Okay, then afterwards we will practice praying. Okay, so when we pray, what is prayer? What is prayer? What is praying? You can actually jot down these notes as you go, alright? What is prayer? What is praying? Praying is? Praying is talking to God. Okay? How many of you talk to one another? You all don't talk to one another. You talk to one, you talk to people, right? Okay? When you talk to people, how do you talk? You talk by? You talk with your mouth, yes? Yes? How do you talk to your friends? You talk in English, okay? You talk. Alright? You talk to your friends. What your friends don't understand English? Then you talk in Telugu, right? You talk in sign language, okay? Prayer in the Bible simply means talking with God, okay? Simply means talking with God. Now, how do you start praying? What is the first thing that you must have with God before you pray? Let's turn to the book of Matthew, okay? Matthew chapter 6. What do you need to have with God before you pray? Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. Okay, Matthew 6 and verse 9. Okay, let's all read together, okay? Matthew chapter 6, good. And verse number 9. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. Let's read together, okay? Okay, ready? We're all ready to get Matthew 6, verse 9. Ready? 1, 2, begin. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay, let's stop there. The first thing you need in verse 9, our Father which art in heaven. What is the first thing we need before we can pray? What's the first thing we need before we can pray? Sorry? Has what? Has Jesus as your Father. That sounds a bit funny, right? But you know, the first thing we need is that we must be Christians. We must be Christians. We must have a personal relationship with God. We must have. And the first thing is, we must be a Christian. We must trust Christ, because otherwise God is under no obligation to hear our prayer. That's a very important thing. Can I say this? If you are a Christian, you want to pray. You will want to pray. Okay? You will want to pray. The first thing you need to do is actually, you need Christ in your heart. Okay? So, Jesus teach here. When you pray, when you are speaking in your prayer, who do you address? There are many people who say, you can address anyone. Of course, the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. God the Father is God. And so a lot of people say, you can even pray, oh dear Holy Spirit. Can you do that? Can you do that? Interestingly, the Bible never says to pray to the Holy Spirit. But Brother Johnny, the Holy Spirit is God. Yes, the Holy Spirit is God. But when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, what did He tell them to say? It was the first thing He told them to say. Our Father which art in heaven. Okay? And that's very interesting. That's very important also for us. That's why we always start our prayer by Dear Heavenly Father. We don't say, some people say, Dear Lord is okay, but Dear Lord Jesus. But the Bible says we pray to God the Father. Okay? If you want to go strictly, but what God says, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, Jesus never said pray to Jesus, He said pray to God the Father. Because in this passage, in another passage in Luke chapter 11, Jesus says the same thing. Okay? So we pray, every time we pray is our Heavenly Father. Okay? Our Heavenly Father. Any questions? It's very important. Okay, we pray to God the Father in whose name? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? In Jesus' name. Okay, in John chapter 16 and verse 24, which is our text for today, actually says this, I'll read, and it's also a theme for September. Hitherto, or up to now, have ye asked nothing in my name, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. When we pray, that is why we pray in Jesus' name. Okay, we pray in Jesus' name because why? Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Why can't we pray in Jairus' name or Joshua's name? Or why must it in Jesus' name? Anyone? Why do you pray in Jesus' name? You pray in Jesus' name, right? But why? Don't know. Why do you pray in Jesus' name? Anyone? Why do you pray in Jesus' name? Do you know why? Anyone? Okay, yes, okay, that's one thing. Why will God the Father give you because you ask in Jesus' name? Okay, you're praying to someone else. Remember in John 14:6, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay? Because we are sinners and we cannot go to God. God the Father. Okay? The only person that can represent us is the Lord Jesus Christ. So every time we ask God the Father, and we end off with in Jesus' name, God the Father recognizes as the authority that you use. When you go to the bank, okay, last time got no ATM, what must we do? Must take the form, must fill up, right? Then you must sign. So on the basis of the signature, the bank will give you the money, right? So if you just go to this person and say, I want to take out the money, and say, but that's not you, that's not your name, you know, you cannot take out the money. But if you have an authorization letter, they have your IC and your signature, based on that, the bank can actually give you that money, right? In the same way, when we pray in Jesus' name to God the Father, that becomes our authority, okay? And so we pray to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, with whose help? How? Who helps us to pray? Anyone? The Holy Spirit. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Alright, Romans chapter 8. And verse number 26. Romans 8. And verse 26. Okay, let's read together, right? Romans 8:26. I'll just say this way after we go into the message, okay? Luke 8:26. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, so who teaches us or who helps us to pray? It is the Holy Spirit. Okay, it is the Holy Spirit. Now, how does the Holy Spirit teach us to pray? This very interesting. Now, get the children involved. Okay, come. Joshua? Joseph, you want to come? Okay, Joseph. Okay, you stand over here. Okay? Alright, you stand over here. Okay, now let's see who wants to help. Okay, Louisa, you want to come? And then Esther Joy, you come also. Okay, so there's three. Okay, Louisa, you can stand over here. Okay, then you sit down. Okay, Esther Joy, you stand over here. Okay, now let's pretend, all right, this is God the Father. Okay, you really need an imagination. Okay, this is God the Father. You're God the Father. Okay, you know how God the Father looks like? You are made in His image, so you should know. Okay, anyway, here's God the Father, okay? Alright, okay, maybe you stand here so everyone can see. Okay. You stand over here. You're God the Father, huh? Okay, Louisa, you come over this side. Now, Louisa is the Christian who is having problems in her life. And she don't know how to pray. Okay? Alright? Okay, are you having lots of problems in your life? Really? I'm just joking. Okay, so Esther Joy is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, Esther Joy is the Holy Spirit. Now, what does the Bible teach us? Where does the Holy Spirit live? He lives in our hearts, right? Okay, so Esther Joy is Louisa's very good friend. Okay? Alright? And so, So Esther Joy will... Louisa will try to... they've got so many problems. Right? You want to do... so many problems. Many problems. Okay, let's pretend she got a lot of problems, okay? And Esther Joy is a good friend and she understands her. Right? Okay? So, how does the Holy Spirit help us to pray? Esther Joy is the Holy Spirit. So you understand her, right? So she wants to pray, but she don't know what to pray. Right? But you know what she needs, right? So what do you do? What do you do? Must go and tell God the Father. Okay? Louisa has a lot of problems in her life, but she don't know what to pray. The Holy Spirit understands her. Does God understand us? God understands us. And so, God, the Holy Spirit, who understands all the problems that Louisa is facing, what does He do? The Bible says, tell me all the problems. So the Holy Spirit actually takes whatever you don't know how to pray and brings it to God the Father. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit knows what is in God's mind. Okay? Okay, thank you. Okay. Oh, thank you, God the Father. And thank you, Louisa, with lots of problems in your life. Okay? Okay, listen. The Bible says in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps us our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we do not know, or we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession. The word intercession means pray on our behalf. With groanings which cannot be uttered. Many churches use this verse to say they're speaking in tongues. The Bible never says this is speaking in tongues. It says groanings which cannot be uttered. But the groanings are actually uttered. Okay, those who understand. Verse 27. He that searches the hearts. Who is this person? Who is the He that searches the hearts? Who is He that searches the hearts? Who searches the hearts? God the Father. He that searches the hearts know what is the mind of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit makes prayer or intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Can you see the connection, how the Holy Spirit helps us? Can I say this? Many of us here may have problems in our lives, may have difficulties in our lives, and sometimes we're so frustrated we don't even know how to pray. You know what happens? Can I encourage you? God, the Holy Spirit, takes over. He actually takes your request and say, actually, this Johnny is this problem. I know you want to make him better, but I think you really need to help him here. And God, the Holy Spirit, actually brings the petition to God. And that's how the Holy Spirit helps us. How many of you, sometimes when we pray, we actually cry without saying anything? You know why? Because our hearts are so broken, we don't know what to say. That's when God comes in. The Bible promises that Holy Spirit comes in and takes our request and brings it to God. And that's why after that, you see, maybe things got better. Or maybe things got worse, but that was God's plan. Okay? So it's very important for us to understand. We pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now very quickly, when can we pray? When can we pray? When can we pray? Children, when can we pray? Every time, okay? Like example? We can pray now, yeah, we can pray now, yeah. When, what else? When can we pray? In the morning, we can pray in the afternoon, we can pray in the evening, we can even pray at midnight when you cannot sleep. You can pray, okay? How do we pray? Or right now, how do we pray? When we pray, what kind of physical position must we be in when we pray? Knees bent, okay? Kneeling, you can pray by kneeling. I can't kneel because of my knee. But you can kneel. How else do you pray? How else can you pray? Yeah, you close your eyes. Children, you know why you close your eyes? To focus, okay? Children, do you know why you close your eyes when you pray? This is very important because many children don't close their eyes when they pray, number one. Number two, some teenagers and adults don't close their eyes when they pray too. You know why? You know why? Why do we close our eyes? Why do you close your eyes to pray? To concentrate. To focus. Can we pray with our eyes open? Yes, we can. But we close our eyes because so that we can concentrate on God. We can concentrate on God. Okay? Because I can tell you, children, if you don't close your eyes when you pray, you know what you're doing? You won't be concentrating on God. You know what you're doing? You're concentrating on your toes. You're concentrating on your pen. You're concentrating. You know how children always... You know why? You know why? Because you're not concentrating on God. That's why even adults close our eyes. Why? So that we can concentrate. Do you understand? So from today onwards, children, when you pray, do we close our eyes or open our eyes? Close. Okay? Alright? Because that will show that you are concentrating on God. Alright? Alright? Okay, so we close our eyes. What other position can we pray? What other position can we pray in? Sorry? Okay, we can pray standing. We can pray standing. What else? We can pray sitting. What else? Any other position? We can pray bowing down. What do you mean by bowing down? Okay, we pray by this. Okay, any other positions? Okay, there's one position which is seldom practiced. It's actually you lie flat on your face. Lying flat on your face, okay? Meaning this. In the past, the high priest will pray like this. Okay? Right. In the olden days, okay? The word we call lying prostrate. That is to show yourself that I'm completely under your authority. Does that make sense? I'm completely under your authority. Okay? You know the Muslims are in their positions of prayer is almost like that as well. Okay, so these are the different positions that we can pray in. Alright? Now let's turn to John chapter 16, verse 24 as we start today. It's actually a very short exhortation. Then after we will spend some time praying. Okay? John chapter 16, verse 24. Let me say this. Prayer needs practice. No matter how much you learn to pray, and this is a very important point for us to understand. Human beings don't like to pray. You know why? Human beings don't like to pray. Because prayer is spiritual work. We have to work at it. What will happen when we pray is that we will fall asleep. Why? Because when we close our eyes, our brain will think naturally, sleep. But when we are praying, our soul has to tell our brain, you stay awake, because I want to talk to my Heavenly Father. Okay? So that's why for some of us, when we pray, we fall asleep. But that's where we have to ask God to help us. Okay? It's important to learn the steps of prayer. But more important to have a heart for God. John chapter 16, verse 24, which is our memory verse for our church, okay, for this month. But let's read it together, then I'll explain. There's only 2 points with this. John 16, 24, ready? 1, 2, begin. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Okay, let's bow for our prayer first. Okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you right now that we can open your word, understand your word, and then Father, after all this, we will practice your word of praying. Lord, I pray that in our lives, we will help us to love Jesus with all our hearts. And that God, when we pray, we know that we are going to you, our Heavenly Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, so that, Lord, we can receive the things that you have for us. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this passage is very interesting. The word hitherto means what? Until now. Okay? Until now. I want us to take note of this because I believe it has very strong relevance for us. Up till now, the disciples have everything that they need in their lives. Why? Up till this time, the disciples were with Jesus for 3.5 years. Right? And up till now, the disciples have everything they need. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was with them. The Lord Jesus Christ was with them. So the disciples have everything that they ever needed. Okay? Everything has been given and fulfilled in the life of the disciples. All they ever needed was already given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. If they need food, the Lord Jesus Christ provided for them. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? Okay? Some of them, there were people who also gave offerings to the ministry of Jesus, and they used that to buy food. So that's also provision. But you know, up to now, for a disciple to go 3 years with Jesus, someone must provide their food. Okay? God, the Lord Jesus Christ provided all they ever need. Okay? But coming to this time, in John chapter 16, you will find John chapter 16 is the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed. Which means that Jesus was going to be crucified. Okay? Jesus is going to be crucified. The Lord Jesus Christ is at this time preparing the disciples and telling them, I am going to leave you. I am going to leave you. I am going to leave you. Okay? And He has to teach them to pray, to depend on God. Okay? Can I say this? All of us, sometimes, many times we pray. What do we ask for oftentimes? What do we oftentimes ask for? In our prayer requests in our church or prayer requests generally, what do we ask for? Okay, things that we want, things for example. What would you pray for? Something that you need. You pray for your family, okay, fine. God, protect my dad, safety, right? Okay, sometimes we pray, oh, I'm sick. Oh, I got exam. Nothing wrong with those things. Oh, my son is sick. Oh, so and so, so this happened, can you pray? So, many times our prayer is centered around what we need. Okay? And that is a very important point in this verse, because the Lord Jesus Christ actually encouraged, Jesus actually said, up to now you have asked nothing in my name. Can I say, during the life of Jesus, the disciples did ask God, the disciples did pray. Alright, let's turn to a few verses, okay? Maybe we'll have, Joseph, can you turn to Matthew 8:25? Then, Brother Joshua, you can, Joanna, and turn to Luke 11:1. Then, Mr. Maslin, you can turn to Luke 17:5. Then, Sister Celine, you can turn to Mark 4:38. Okay? Okay, Joseph, these are some of the things that the disciples did ask. Okay? So, Matthew 8:25. Okay, the first thing that Jesus, the disciples did ask, Lord, save us. That's something they ask. Okay, when they're in trouble, Lord, save us. Isn't that what we do? Oh, I'm in trouble already. You know, the only, even a non-believer, when they get into trouble, he'll pray. Right? And many times, a non-believer will get into trouble, pray, realize God is sovereign. There was one, I was reading a testimony about this Indian couple, in Singapore. But this Indian couple had a very sick daughter. And so, all their life, they worship idols. All their life, they worship idols. And they went to the witch doctor and said, can you please help us? Our daughter is dying. At the end of the doing all kinds of things, there was nothing anyone or their gods or their idols could ever do. Until she heard there was a Christian that was coming and he was preaching the gospel about Jesus, who in the Bible healed the sick and all that kind of thing. So in desperation, a non-believer say, well, maybe she can help us. All right. Now this one, it happened in the tribes of India. Okay, and usually God does use things like this. What happened was this particular couple, the missionary came and prayed for the sick girl. And guess what happened? The girl recovered. And today, the missionary couple, the couple realized Jesus could answer prayer. They got saved. And today, they are sacrificing their whole life as missionaries to tell the people of India the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes in trouble, we pray. Okay? And a lot of us, unfortunately, I hope it doesn't happen, but unfortunately, sometimes we only pray when we have trouble Okay, but the disciples did that too. Next one, in the book of Luke 11, verse 1. What else did the disciples ask God for? Okay, Lord, teach us to pray. So here, just like some of you are saying, I want to come here to learn to pray. Do you realize when you say that, can I challenge you, mean it all your heart? I'm not going to teach you to pray. I can show you what Jesus... But in order to really pray, you need to ask the master prayer. You need to ask the Lord Jesus. As you spend time with Him, you realize one of the things that you need to learn when you pray, you must make time. If you don't make time, you will never pray. I say again, if you don't make time to pray, you will never pray. You will not pray. You know why? Humanly speaking, we don't want to pray. So it could be you must plan, okay, maybe for a housewife who get up from he had to set the children to go to school, and children or all the children have gone to school, the husband gone to work. Okay, I'm going to spend 9:15 to 9:45, that part. All right, my prayer time. Okay, how many of you know Susanna Wesley? Susanna Wesley, you know how many children she has? She has 19 children. How to find time to pray? You know what she did to pray? She taught her children. She got 19 children running all over the place. But Susanna Wesley still spent time to pray. You know how she did? What she would do? Whenever the children saw her sitting down in a chair with a cloth over her, they are not to disturb her because mommy is praying. Okay? So whenever Susanna Wesley prays, all the children will know. They will put the mommy will put a cloth over her. And when she prayed, no one is supposed to disturb her. Alright? Okay? So that was spent. You need to make time to pray. Okay? Alright, the next one in Luke 17, verse 5. Luke 17, 5. Okay, so here, the apostles asked Jesus, increase our faith. Okay, there was a prayer request. Lord, increase our faith. Mark 4:38. Okay, so here was a prayer for help. Okay, maybe Jeremiah, you want to help? We can draw with him or something. Okay, so can you see in these four verses, the disciples did ask God for things. Lord, help increase our faith. Lord, we are perishing. Can you please help us? Lord, we are... So they were asking things. But you know what Jesus said in John chapter 16, 24, our verse we read? He said, up to now, you have asked nothing in my name. You have not asked anything. You have not asked anything. The first point that I need you to write is this. The Lord says, up to now, you have really asked nothing. All you're asking is only for your needs. The Lord Jesus encourages us to ask. And He asks us to ask big. Ask big. B-I-G. You know, the normal things in life, like for example, our needs, our health and all that. As far as God is concerned, God will take care of those needs. Oh yeah, we have to ask still. You know, I'm pain. You know, children will come to us. Oh, papa, pain. Ah, those are the little things that we have to cater for. But you know what God wants us to ask? He wants us to ask big. Don't just ask for, oh, my studies, oh, my family. Oh. Yes, those are important things and we have to pray for them. But you know, you notice, after the disciples, when Jesus went back to heaven, over the next few days, over the next 2 days, you will find out the disciples asked for a lot of things. Okay? For the disciples started asking for healing for people. Souls getting saved. Building the church. There was this Paul in Acts chapter 13, whereby there was this witch doctor who was trying to blind someone from hearing the gospel. And Paul, in God's name, you know, Jesus is saying, look, don't just pray for what you need. Because if you just pray for what you need, your life is just here. Parents, can I say, pray greater prayers for your children. Lord, I want my child to grow up, to love you, to serve you with all your heart. That is praying big. Don't just pray. You must have spiritual vision. Okay, Ezra may just be sitting down there. Yeah? But next time, he may be here. Right? Ezra, yes? Yeah? Okay. So, we need to pray. Okay, we pray that Ezra next time when he grows up, or even as church members, we pray for one another's children, pray for one another. That God, I don't just want to pray that, Joseph has eczema, let's pray that he'll be comfortable. No, God use eczema to help him depend on you more, that he learns to pray more, that he learns to bear with discomfort more. Lord, that because in serving you next time, God, he may have to go through this. We need to learn to pray big, okay? Can you think of something that you really want the Lord to do in your life? Okay, after this you have to write down at the end. But I'd like you all to pray and think big. You know, parents, you need to have goals that you are begging God for your children, that will make their lives absolutely useful. I hope as parents we will not actually think, just go school, finish, then after that, whatever you want to do with your life, you're fine. I think our children are much more precious than that. Okay? Parents, think, what do I want my first son to do, or first daughter, or whatever, and my second child? Lord, what do you want? So what you do, parents, take note of their personality, take note of what they can, cannot do, and say, God, I think this, my daughter, since we have talked a lot, Lord, maybe she can be like Amy Carmichael, a missionary that goes out to tell the gospel to people, okay? So, we need to do that. Okay, number one, God asks us to ask and ask big. Number two, the Lord Jesus encourages us and gives us a promise. He encourages us with a promise. In John 16:24, up to now, ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. The Lord Jesus Christ encourages us to ask big, and he encourages us to ask with a promise. Okay? How are we to ask? Very quickly, we are to ask with strong desire. The word ask there has the idea of craving. Craving. Okay? I understand for ladies, when they are expecting, sometimes they crave laksa, or they crave this, or they crave fish and chips, or they crave whatever they crave. And some of you right now are craving for the spaghetti that... Sister Mask, we crave, Brother Johnny, please finish fast so we can eat, but you have to control yourself because you need to pray first. Okay, we crave. Well, you know what? The kind of longing for something, that's the type of heart we have to have when we pray. Well, when we pray for this church fan that you're seeing outside, we actually, God, and we kept on praying, God, provide us the funds. No, well, Lord, it's a good to have, but Lord, it will certainly make our ministry more effective. The reason why we enjoy today is because people have prayed in the past and they have, God has answered their prayer. There must be a desire. Can I say this? I think I preached on Sunday. When we pray, there's no desire, God doesn't hear. There's no desire. Okay? We need to ask with strong desire. And the Bible says, when we ask, we will receive. Okay, that's the next point. We will receive, because there is a promise. But you know, we will receive, have within the word, you will be shocked what you're going to get. There will be amazement. It's like, oh! You know? How many of you have received a present and you just absolutely overwhelmed, you cry or whatever? Okay, I think one of the things our family sometimes watch is Undercover Boss. How many of you watch that show? Which is actually a documentary about bosses who actually goes undercover, and they are the CEOs. Okay, they will go to this CEO of a company who do the waste management. Okay, and what he does is it's in England. So he goes to all these places, and the workers don't recognize him because they don't see him. Okay, he's a CEO somewhere, but he comes in, he dress up, they call it Undercover Boss. Okay, so he goes there, and he will listen, and there was one of them, was very touching, because there was this guy who was actually suffering from cancer. Okay, my family need to help me with the details, but suffering from cancer, and this guy, this worker he doesn't take company time to go and see doctor for his therapy. he takes his own annual leave to go for chemotherapy. And the CEO found out, not from him. He didn't tell the CEO, or he didn't tell this new worker. He told someone else who, someone else who knew him, actually told the CEO. Okay? And so as a result of this going for annual leave to do the chemotherapy, the man cannot spend time, at least go on a break with the two daughters. Okay? And so what happened was, the end of the story, the end of the show is usually, apparently it's a real show, and so all these people whom he has worked with will be summoned to the headquarters. And then he will one by one reveal himself and say, I'm the chief executive officer. Surprise. So for this particular guy who had this chemo, and what the CEO did was, because of this guy's devotion to the company, the CEO actually gave him and all expenses paid for him and his two daughters to take off. And he was crying. He was shocked. It was like, you know, to him he's just doing his job, he's just being faithful. But then when the CEO actually, what else did he give him? I can't remember, but there was another thing that he gave, but the CEO was very nice. I mean, he gave him, okay, well, because of your devotion to the company, I'm giving you all expenses paid for you and your two daughters to anywhere in Europe or something, I don't know.
Because actually, he enjoys driving.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay.
So then the
CEO.
The
drivers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So but I think the point is, but this guy after receiving that, I mean he just said, I just can't believe it. He just broke down. Can I say this? When we serve God, and sometimes we will pray. Okay, I don't know about you. When throughout this year, many times, even during the service, my tears will come down. You know why? Because people have been praying. There was one time. I tell you, was really out of this world. We actually prayed on Sunday morning. Some of you will join us. We prayed, Lord, bring new visitors. But we don't know how in the world new visitors are going to come. So I was talking to someone, and Esther Joy came, Papa, Papa, got someone come. I said, okay, I know someone. Yeah, no, the new visitor. Then I said, well, I came up. And this was that Chinese person who found the track on the floor and came. And you know, many times in our church, when people start coming in, it's like, Lord, where did these people come from? Only you could have brought them. But you know, can I say these people have been praying, Lord, bring the people, Lord, and people have been actively going out, and God has been answering. Jesus says, up to now have you asked nothing in my name? Ask that ye might receive, that you will be amazed. And sometimes when God rewards us with prayer, it's like your jaw will drop. It's like, where did this come from? But you know, we need to keep praying. I think one of the greatest encouragement in our men's meeting, we wanted feedback for our fasting and prayer on 9th of August. Some of the men say, Pastor, we should do more. So next year, we're going to plan maybe 3 or 4 times a year that we just set aside time to fast and pray for the church. It's a good spiritual exercise. And I think if the children, you grow up understanding the power of fasting and praying. Parents, you'll be giving to your children a weapon in their lives they can take. They can face any difficulties. Alright, so we need to ask with strong desire, we will receive, and the Bible says that your joy may be full. The joy may be full. The fullness of joy refers to calmness, cheerfulness. Your cheerfulness will be complete. And some of us find that our life is like, oh, okay, I wish I can do better. I wish, why my life is so bleh. I wish I could have this, I wish I could do this, I wish I could go there. But you know what God says? When you pray and you receive, your satisfaction will be full. Your satisfaction will be full. For me, my joy was complete when we pray and people came. You know, it made my day. Does that make sense? It was such a wonderful time. Your joy will be full. Okay? Now, as we close in the personal reflection part, what I'd like you all to do, what I seriously like you all to do, besides just asking for things that make your life comfortable, I'd like you to write. Okay, children, if you're not too sure, never mind. Okay, you can after your parents can help you. But you know, for those who are older and can think, I want you to think in your heart, Lord, these are two things I like to accomplish for you in my life. Okay? For parents, it could be your children. For those who are growing up, it could be, I want to make sure my life is 100% centered in God. Or maybe I want to be a missionary. Or I want to fulfill God's calling in my life. Okay? Maybe for you, if you have small children, as you say, Lord, I pray that every year they grow from first year, second year, third year, fourth year, from the first 5 years. And for your information, I mean, for Sister Felicia and those who are younger children, the first 5 years is the most important years of your life. You give 100% in those first 5 years. After that is maintenance, adjusting. But the first 5 years, you lay down that character in their hearts. If you would teach them love for God, you teach them prayer, you teach them how to sing, you teach them how to worship the Lord, serve Him in the first 5 years, and tell you, you set them for life. You train up this child in the way it should go. And you know what you do is, as you do that, you pray, God, my goal is for little Ruth, that when she grows up, she'll be a Sunday school teacher. And she will serve you with the children, and she'll be good with the children. Okay, she's very cheerful. It could be she's an exalter, you know, an encourager. Lord, everyone that comes to church, I want her to be able to be a glue to keep this person in church and help that person grow in Christ. Something specific. Okay? So maybe you take about 2 minutes. Alright, write down something that you like God to do in your life. Children, later on, maybe you may like to share with your parent or whatever, but you know, just write down something in your life that you want God to accomplish. Because Jesus told us, ask so that your joy will be full. Okay, we take 2 minutes, then we will pray. All right?